Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Listeners, as many of you know, we have a series we call Free Skate, where we invite everyone onto the rink to discuss a topic. And today we're looking at how to organize your home and life in the era of social distancing. Are you struggling to figure out how to rearrange your living room to double as your office? Or maybe you need to set up shop in your bedroom? How can you create more space or a better space in this new reality? Give us a call with your organizing and home office questions at 212-433-9692. That is 212-433-WNYC. Or you can tweet to us at allofitwnyc. With us now to offer their advice are New York Times real estate columnist Rhonda Kaysen and Michelle Higgins. Rhonda is an award-winning journalist and columnist for the Times real estate section, where she created the Right at Home column and writes Ask Real Estate. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Michelle Higgins is the creator of the Fix column for the New York Times and an adjunct professor at CUNY School of Journalism. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks for having us.
They have a new book called The New York Times Right at Home, How to Buy, Decorate, Organize, and Maintain Your Space. So I'm guessing you are very popular ladies right now. People have a lot of questions for you.
Yes, I think so.
So to quote Shakespeare, if it were done, when 'tis done, 'twere well it were done quickly. You advocate making decisions quickly by organizing.
Yes.
Why, Michelle?
To Michelle? Sorry.
Or Rhonda, whoever, whichever wants to go.
I think because if you hem and haw over things, it drags out the process. And I think for many people, your gut feeling about things is ultimately the one that's right for you. And I think it's most important to just keep moving when you're going through a large process. And if there's something you really can't decide on, put it aside. So make a quick decision to also not make a decision is another option. Just put it aside and think about it later. But you want to not get bogged down and caught up in every little item.
So you think don't ask yourself a series of questions, just really go with the gut?
Well, I think Michelle can speak to that a little bit too, because I do think it's more in-depth than just going with your gut. But I think when you're going through the purging process, you know, get moving. But Michelle, maybe if you want to add in about how you can kind of think of it larger.
So I think one of the things that you can do to help organize this is prioritize the rooms you spend the most time in first. So for many of us, that's the kitchen and the living room. But if you spend the most time in your sunroom, for example, you want to begin there. You can map out a timeline and write it down. So if you plan to do one project a day, for example, putting the goal on paper might help you kind of be patient and stay on task. And you really don't want to try to do everything at all at once, because that just creates more chaos. You know, start small, like things like, you know, setting up a home office or cleaning out the junk drawer can actually be really, you know, therapeutic. Edit ruthlessly, get rid of, you know, the furnishings and pictures and collectibles you no longer use or that bring up bad memories, like that painting you bought with your ex, and replace them with things that evoke kind of beauty or cheer or simply are more practical for this moment in time when we're really kind of grappling with how are we going to, you know, make the most of our homes and make space in them for the next, you know, undetermined period.
Let's talk about desk space, because a lot of people are having to recreate their office situation. What are your recommendations for optimizing your workflow on your desk and within your drawers?
I think the first thing is you have to understand what are you going to be doing in your office space? What items do you need to access? You also need to decide where your office is going to be, especially if you have multiple people suddenly working at home. So this isn't a typical home work environment that we're all used to. You may have three or four family members who all need office space. So let's say your office space now is going to be something that has to be multi-purpose. It could theoretically be your dining room table. That's also going to have to be your dinner table. So set up your laptop. Decide what are the papers that you need during the day. Have a bin, and you can, at the end of the day, put all those items neatly into the bin, put the bin in a bookshelf and have your dining room table back. So you need to decide what are your priorities, because your office space may be very flexible and there may be more than one person who needs it, or you may be using a space in your home that will have a different purpose at another point in the day, and you want to have what is a calm, clear, focused workspace as much as possible in this time, something that where you know where everything is and you're not scrambling and you're not having papers and items that you don't actually need right now. So look at your items and say, well, if I don't actually need this basket of pens, I just need one pen. You don't have to have everything there all the time. You can have a very highly focused, highly organized workspace that can also be somewhat portable.
I would just add, if I might, that, you know, I'm a list person, so one of the things that helps me is to just simply take inventory. So make a list of all the supplies that you tend to use in your regular office space, whether that's like computer monitors, multiple computer monitors, or printers, or files, or whiteboards, and like add to your list any, you know, like health considerations or preferences, including if you do better at a standing desk than at a kitchen island. And that can help you kind of figure out, you know, what you need on your desktop and what you can discard, what you might need to do in terms of where you set that desk up as well. So that's one thing that I would just add.
My guests are New York Times real estate columnists Rhonda Kaysen and Michelle Higgins. Their new book is called The New York Times Right at Home, How to Buy, Decorate, Organize, and Maintain Your Space. Listeners, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you have a question about setting up your home office while we're all working from home, or if you have a hack, something you've figured out, we always love to share our tips on Team All of It. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or you can tweet at us at All of It WNYC. So some people may be thinking, you know what, I'm going to set up my home office in my bedroom. What do you think about home offices in bedrooms?
Well, normally it's not a great place, although full disclosure, mine has been in my bedroom for some time. But it's, you know, you want as much as possible under normal conditions to have a separated work-live space. But, you know, you also need to work where you can, and your bedroom might end up right now at this moment in time being the quietest place in your home. It may also be a place where you can close a door away from other members of the family. If you are setting up your home office in your bed, in your bedroom, although I'm not a huge rule person in general, make your bed, tidy up that space, because clutter is distracting. Also, the messiness of bed, it can make you feel, you know, uneasy. So try to tidy up your bed if you can. Try to, again, at the end of the day, close up your items, put them away so that when you come to your bedroom for sleep, it is a serene space. Because now more than ever, we also need our spaces to be calm and soothing. So your bedroom is one that is going to be a place where you need to get sleep and rest. And if you're staring at your computer and all the work and all the anxiety that's there, it's going to be distracting. So if you can, again, put the work away and clear off the desk space as much as possible before you, you know, you transition to a bedtime space. I don't know if Michelle wants to add to that.
So when Rhonda and I were reporting the book, I mean, one of the things that we did was we brought in experts that we've kind of interviewed over the years as our, you know, as real estate columnists for the New York Times. And one of the experts that I quote in the book is Judith Wendell, who's a Manhattan-based feng shui consultant. And her advice is, if at all possible, do not keep your office, you know, keep your office out of the bedroom. Your bedroom should not double as your office. Now, obviously, in our current situation, that might not be possible for everyone. So if space is tight, you know, create an office space in a corner of your living room or your dining room. Your bedroom should, really be a place for rest, and work should not be the first thing you see in the morning or the last thing you see at night. You know, obviously, you don't want to take your work to bed with you, as many of us do, but perhaps less obvious is that we don't want our work to have lazy or sleepy chi, is what Judith Wendell says. So if you can, at the very least, hide it, like Rhonda was saying. You know, consider a bureau with doors that you can hide your computer, books and papers and printer at night as like a good workaround.
I know a lot of people decide to look at their bed and look under it and think, that's a good place to put some things. when they're making room. That's a slippery slope. What are some of the best practices for underbed storage?
I could speak to that. Again, underbed storage is not the best place to store items, although many New Yorkers, that is, you know, it is a storage space, and so that is a reality. But dust collects there. It's also a place that, you know, can attract problems. So you want to, if you are using underbed storage, use those plastic bins, the ones on wheels that roll up. You also want to keep things that are seasonal that you'll go back to, because I think a lot of times when something is hidden away, we forget about it, and it becomes a way to avoid really getting rid of things. So if something is sitting under your bed for a year, it's not something you need. So perhaps you seal your seasonal clothes and you store them so that you have more access to your closet. So it should be used strategically for items that you will return to. But I think if you're storing papers that you have no intention of ever going through, they just need to go. And so I think the under the bed can often be a way to avoid really clearing out and limiting what you have. And again, it creates a cluttered tense bedroom space where you do want where you sleep to be a place that makes you calm. And, you know, Gretchen Rubin, who of the Happiness Project, who we spoke with for the book, also talks a lot about your inner calm is very much connected to your outer calm. And those two things have a balance to each other that you want to nurture.
We do have a couple of callers who want to chime in. Edith on line one is calling us from, looks like, Milwaukee. Hi, Edith.
Milwaukee. Hi, thank you so much for having me. So I have a question because I'm working on my dissertation for PhD school. So I've moved about 100 books from my school office to my home office. And the challenges there are that my library, you know, the bookshelves are obviously, I don't have as many as I do in my office at school. And the temptation to keep organizing or reorganizing and trying to get all the papers in order and the piles in order can be rather overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to know if you had any suggestions for organizing paperwork and books.
Books, that's a big one.
Michelle, did you want that or should I?
You go ahead and on the organizing, and I'll stick to kind of the decor, if that
okay.
helps with the
yeah.
the trajectory here.
So, Edith, that sounds like a lot. Congratulations on working your dissertation, and I know that's a huge project. What you need to do, I would say, is, you know, 100 books is a lot. I would try to categorize them first of what you need at different times. See if you have, if you're working now at home, if there's a bookshelf that you can really dedicate to those books that you're going to need ready access to, I would focus on those books and maybe separate the other ones out and say, okay, look, there's these 40 books that I'm going to need now, and try to get those in that shelf. Try to organize them in a way where you can easily find them. You know, I would organize them by category, whatever works whatever way works best for you in the way that you think and work. Then the other books, I would try to store in another part of your home if possible that then you can return to when you need them, because that will at least give you some sort of control over them. In terms of paperwork and your papers, again, you want to follow a similar method. File folders work really well. Trying to organize them by category, you want to be able to know what you have and where you have it. And I think with papers, what can happen is you don't quite know how to categorize items, and you can over-categorize. You have so many different folders that you don't know which one is in. So you don't want to over-categorize. You want to have, I would try to limit your categories to a reasonable number. Try to label if you can get folders that are colored, you know, that you can have different colors for different types of categories. Colors are very helpful, but try to label them really clearly with big letters so that you can figure out where things are stored. You want to make sure at the end of your workday that you recategorize those items and you put them back where they belong. And the same goes for the books. Once you have a place for them, make sure they go back where they belong at the end of the day. Otherwise, you're going to get overwhelmed by the volume of items. And if you're, as you're working through your dissertation, if you find that, okay, now I'm done with this chapter or this information, I'm going to need these other kinds of books, then swap those books out and take the ones that you had in the shelf and move them to the storage area and do a trade and try to keep, so you can keep control, but you can keep inventory, because if you just have a massive pile of books, you're not going to be able to find what you need. You're going to waste a lot of time just as you said, feeling overwhelmed and looking for them. So I don't know if that helps, but I hope so.
Edith, thank you so much for calling. And I'm going to pull out a little bit. Michelle, how do you feel about books as decoration, as in when you're talking about decor? We just talked about them very practically.
Absolutely. Books as decoration is great. You can do some really creative things. We've seen people do color-coded, you know, book organization. You can do it by size. You know, you can go vertical, stacking books vertically, you know, selecting specific books that look great on a coffee table, you know, using books that are colorful as like a pop of color, you know, kind of to brighten things up and changing it out seasonally. So there's a lot of things that you can do with books, and Instagram is a great place for inspiration. So if you just kind of search some key hashtags in terms of books and decor, you'll find a lot of great ideas there too.
What are some of those hashtags?
I would look for Bookstagram. I would look for, you know, also decor, books, organizing, shelves, those kinds of things. Just, you know, plug a whole bunch of them in there and you'll find some great examples.
My guests are New York Times real estate columnists and journalists Rhonda Kaysen and Michelle Higgins. Their book is called The New York Times Right at Home, How to Buy, Decorate, Organize, and Maintain Your Space. Our phone lines are full. We'll get to more questions after a quick break. This is All of It. My guests are Rhonda Kaysen and Michelle Higgins. Their new book is The New York Times Right at Home, How to Buy, Decorate, Organize, and Maintain Your Space. We're talking about home offices since a lot of us are working from home at the moment. Let's go to Maria, who is calling us from West Orange. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I have a question regarding my home office. I work from home all the time. I have a not a traditional desk, but just more of a table. I like clean, open spaces that are nicely organized. But the one thing that I find very challenging is the amount of wires. I hate looking at those wires. And I wanted wires and cords. I wanted some tips on how to make that look a little bit more aesthetically pleasing.
Absolutely. We hate those ugly wires, right? There's a couple things that you can do. One of the things is to simply buy some zip ties that can be ordered online or, you know, from any, most grocery stores actually carry them too, that are simply like plastic strips that you can kind of put around the cords and kind of zip them tight so that they can be lay flat along the floor or up against a wall. And if you run it, if you have your desk or a dining table or something positioned near a wall, you can actually take those cords and lay them flat up against the where the floor meets the wall, and you can with the zip ties kind of keep them together. In a pinch, rubber bands could work too, so that you keep them kind of in a almost like a tube-like you know, pack up against the wall to keep them so that you're not tripping over them. You can use worst case scenario, you can use tape to kind of tape it to the floor and keep it out of the way. There's some really kind of fun, colorful things that you can do with washi tape these days as decor. And then also, if you want to take on a little bigger project, you could do paint them. So you can paint them the same color as your wall or color that kind of matches your wallpaper or rug so that they blend in.
Thanks so much for calling, Maria. Let's go to John in Franklin Lakes. John, thanks for calling All of It.
Actually, at my office, I live in the Bronx, and I'm one of few people coming in because I honestly cannot work from home because well, first of all, I live in a studio, so I don't have a room that I can say, this is the office you work in here. At least I have a Murphy bed so I can put it away. But other than putting up, a blanket fort or something like that, do you have any suggestions?
For studios.
Well, setting up a home office can be, you know, as simple as placing a laptop on a coffee table, you know, or opening up a laptop in a kitchen table. But when you were talking about, you know, working from home on a regular basis,
you do kind of deserve more than a makeshift workspace or a replica of that kind of claustrophobic cubicle that you might be leaving behind. So one of the things you can try to do is blend it in. So when carving out a home office in like a main living area, which it sounds like you would obviously be doing in a studio apartment, you'll need to find creative ways to create a visually distinct kind of workspace within that existing room. So that can be as simple as placing a stylish, you know, small writing desk along one wall, or using tall plants as like an organic divider between your desk and your living space or your bedroom in this case, right? If you're talking about a studio with a Murphy bed. If you'd rather conceal your workspace, a built-in cabinet front might do the trick, or using furniture you already have and consider whether you could use it for storage, like a sideboard or a TV console. My home office, when I prefer to work from the dining room, I will, keep my printer in a TV console, so it looks like, you know, a DVD player or something sitting on below the television in a shelf on the console. And my console has a couple of doors that opens up, so I put all my papers in that cabinet so that I can tuck it away, and then all I need to do is take my laptop and move it or put it on top of the printer when I want to use the dining table.
Good luck, John. My guests are Rhonda Kaysen and Michelle Higgins. We're talking about how to create a home office space. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. If you want to join the conversation, if you have a question for our guests, or if you have a hack you want to share. I'm curious about this. Somebody had a really interesting Twitter question for us, from Twitter, I should say. And they talked about, they wanted to know about learning stations for kids, for, you know, the kids' home office. Any suggestions on how to create positive working spaces for our kids who are going to be home, you know, going to be teleschooling?
Yeah.
Teleeducational?
I can speak to that. I have two who are going to be starting that. They've had the week off, and they'll start that Monday. We have been spending quite a bit of time setting that space up. One thing to consider with kids is different kids learn differently. My daughter, for example, does not like to sit at a desk, and that's okay. And so what we've created for her is a standing desk on her bureau. So she's younger. She didn't have a desk at home yet. So we've changed her bureau into a standing desk, and so that when she has a Chromebook that she'll be using, we have all of her books set out for her on that, so she can stand there and do her work. And then at the end of her school day, we can fold up her Chromebook, we can fold up her workbooks and her schoolwork and lots of paperwork, and put it in a basket that sits next to her bureau on the floor, sort of next to her dollhouse. And then she can go back to playing in her room, and it can continue to be her play space. My son is older. He has a desk. Again, he needs much more quiet and still space, so he has a desk where his computer is there and his work is set up. But again, at night, I have him put his books in his desk drawers so that he's not looking at all that clutter, because it's a lot of stress and the kids do need breaks from school. I think when you're creating their workspace, it really needs to be clear and clean of distractions. It needs to not, their toys can't be out and all around them to distract them. They do need to focus. But, you know, they're not going to be working all day. They do also need to play. So even if it is in a room where they also play, try as much as you can to, at the end of the day, enlist the children in this activity. And I think this extends beyond just the home office. We're all living in these tight spaces now for the duration. And to stay sane, we have to clean up and we have to get the kids to tidy. And that should be a big part of their morning routine and their evening routine, is getting their schoolwork set up, then putting it away and getting their toys out. And at the end of the day, they put them away. So if they make a pillow fort in the living room, they're going to have to clean that up. And they're going to have to, even if they want to make it again tomorrow, because we all have to now use our spaces a lot more than before. And you need to make sure that in their workspace, you know, that you can sit with them and help them as needed. And it's something that you can be near them, but you can also, maybe if you're also working, you can have your own workspace a little separate from them, but you can go and check in on them as needed.
That is excellent advice. Good luck with the kiddos, Michael. let's talk to John from the West Village. Hi, John. Thanks for calling all of it.
Hey, how's it going? This is a magnificent segment because we're touching on issues of inner serenity and decluttering, and those are monsters as far as topics go for New Yorkers or for anyone. So thanks for that. As far as creating the energy of a workspace, I'll just put out there what I do. I get dressed for my small area. I'm a pianist. Broadway show of mine got canceled, but I do have a piano at home. And what I do is I get dressed for my piano. And that means for a male, shoes and slacks and a belt, because a belt is uncomfortable. So when you're sitting in a desk, you know you're working. You're in a chair. And then you create an actual schedule. And I guess I could ask you about that, how late you should go. Because, you know, if you blend, you know, you're home and you're this and you're that, the clothes, I'm trying to help separate it. So you get to take off the slacks with the belt and become comfortable again. So that's just a structural thing for me.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, there's been right now, there's a huge Twitter debate about whether you can wear daytime pajamas or not. And it's really, you know, I think just for many people, getting dressed and putting on your shirt, especially if you have Zoom conference calls, you are supposed to sort of look presentable. So I think it does really depend on your personality and what matters to you. But I think that what you're mentioning is very important is the rituals. And so even if those rituals don't involve you getting out of your sweatpants, which is okay if that's okay for you, there is a really, I think we need to create structure and ritual in these times. And so, you know, get up, have a cup of coffee, have breakfast. Don't turn on your computer yet. Like, don't check Twitter yet. Stay off. Do your breakfast and then go sit at your desk. And I think having a schedule and signing off at 6 o'clock for dinner does make a difference. And I think having a lunch break makes a difference. And if you're home with your family, try to have a lunch break together, because although we're spending so much time together, we may not be spending that much quality time right now. And so create the home, make that space flexible, and make it work for you, and give, and also create routines, but give yourself a break. These are trying times, and I think that your routines can be, don't have to be rigid if that doesn't work for you. So if you feel like, I don't want to have to put on my full dress suit and my pants and my belt, you don't, and you can still get your work done, that's okay too. But I think it's critical to have some sort of structure so that work doesn't just bleed into every minute of your day.
Michelle, before we go, something I really want to touch on quickly is lighting. How you can adjust your lighting so that it is the best for you, as we're going to be in the same space for so long.
Absolutely. Good lighting can completely transform a space, not just by brightening, you know, those dark corners, but really affecting your emotions. You know, the right lighting can kind of lift your spirits and make you more productive in some cases. So design experts recommend every room should have a mix of lighting. So if you can have overhead and accent lighting and task lights around, that's kind of the best. If you can have at least three, that would be wonderful. So in your living room, for example, you might begin by having a decorative lighting fixture near the center of the room, and then accent lights to highlight art, for example, and then a couple of table lamps besides seating for another layer of light. In the kitchen, you know, pendants over kitchen islands are fairly traditional, recessed lights along the edge of the ceiling. And then LED light strips on the bottom of your upper cabinets can be extremely helpful for, you know, all of the work that you do in the kitchen. And, you know, especially LED light strips are relatively inexpensive upgrades that can easily be ordered online, you know, at IKEA or Home Depot or other home goods stores.
So much good advice. Rhonda Kaysen and Michelle Higgins, the name of their book is The New York Times Right at Home, How to Buy, Decorate, Organize, and Maintain Your Space. Ladies, thanks for your help today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is All of It on WNYC.